Grace and peace are yours in the name of our risen and ascended Lord. Before we get into things, we got to go through the hard things. We got to go through death. We got to talk about it. We got to talk about how it affects us in our lives so that we appreciate what God has done for us. Have you felt the sting of death? I was there in Arizona in my dad's classroom. I was on break in college or after college, I can't remember. I was helping him in his classroom, moving things here and there. And then something yellow skittered across the floor. It stopped out in the middle. A scorpion. I jumped up on one of the desks. And there my dad was, not nimble, not quick, and he grabs a dictionary. And he sidles over to it. And there's a satisfying crunch as the exoskeleton gives way. Why was I so scared? In a moment, all of a sudden, I was confronted with the possibility of death. I didn't know enough about scorpions. I didn't know enough about that specific scorpion. I didn't know the sting of death. There was another time when I was going to the seminary. I was working. It was the end of the day. I was closing up, and so I slid the big pole barn doors shut with a bang. And then all of a sudden, this hornet came down and stung me on the side of the head. While I was recovering from the shock of that, I went to my car and I ate some snacks I had left over. And my chest started to feel a little bit tight, and it was a little bit harder to chew and to swallow, and it was harder to breathe. The sting of death. Those were physical stings that we can receive in this life. But you know just as well as I do that the sting of death comes in all sizes and shapes. It's those little things as small as a jammed finger, sprained ankle, torn ACL, broken leg, to the chronic headaches, the chronic back pain, the arthritis that twists your fingers. But it doesn't just stop at the physical stuff now, does it? There's the emotional and the mental pain. Those things that make you feel this suffocating loss. You see, death first carves awake in your life. It takes those loved ones of yours. But death is very personal. Then it comes for you. Death doesn't give you time to stop and mourn. It says, get up, keep going. Because I'm taking you next. See, ever since the fall into sin, ever since Adam and Eve fell, the world's never been the same. Death doesn't only just claim you at the end. What it tries to do is make every moment of your life miserable. You feel the sting of death every day. That's why Isaiah says, there's this shroud. It covers all nations like this burial cloth over your face. And there we go through life, through this real world, struggling to breathe. Where does the world go to catch a quick breath? You know the classic places. You self-medicate with drugs and alcohol. Why do people do that? Don't they know what it's going to do to their body, that it's going to hasten their death? They know. It's not a knowledge problem, so then why do they do it? It's because the sting of death is so oppressive, so suffocating, that they will do anything, pay any cost, just to catch their breath. What about you? Where do you go to catch your breath? Is it your busy work schedule? You just keep yourself so busy so that you don't have to think about it. Do you eat too much? Do you drink too much? Or do you keep yourself entertained? You just keep the entertainment rolling so you don't have to think. You don't have to think about it. How much time and money do you spend trying to keep yourself looking young? Why do you do it? Is it to fool yourself and others into thinking that it's farther away? What's that place where it really hits you, where the rubber really hits the road? Isn't it when you have to go in for a checkup? Isn't your blood pressure always elevated when you go in? And why is that? There's anxiety, there's trepidation because they might find something that makes that sting of death a little bit more real than you had anticipated. Well, now I want to talk about somebody else. What do you think death feels like when he goes in for his checkup? Well, Mr. Grim Reaper, how are you feeling this Easter morning? I feel empty inside. Why do you say that? Well, everything was going just fine, Doc, until I swallowed this man called Jesus. And I swallowed him up just fine. It was actually one of the easiest deaths I've claimed. But then 3 days later, he crawled out. And there was nothing I could do about it. And then he turned around and he looked at me and he said, I'm going to swallow you up completely. And he marked me. That terrified me because nothing like that has ever happened to me. How am I supposed to go on claiming people when I know that in the end, he's going to extort from me every single person that I've claimed? How can I keep doing my job? I'm worthless. I'm done. I'm over. My life is over. You get to see behind the scenes a little bit. You see, death still puts up this strong front. It claims your loved one. It's coming to claim you. But what he doesn't let you see is that his knees are knocking. What you don't see is death turning over in his sleep, having night terrors. You remember Jonah? He's swallowed up by this whale, this giant fish, whatever it is. But then 3 days later, he spit up, and as it were, so to speak, Jonah is raised from the dead. It's this picture of what Jesus would do. But you see, the picture's not complete, not in the story of Jonah, because he doesn't go back and eat up that whale. How could we expect him to? We can't even drink a gallon of milk in an hour. We can't even down a tablespoon of cinnamon. Our saliva, our enzymes, they can't handle it. How are we going to swallow up death? Well, that's what Paul tells us in verse 50. He said, flesh and blood, they're not going to do it. Christ is. Christ is. The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. So as death is stalking you, Christ is stalking death. You know when you go into a building late at night and you're all alone and it's a big building and it's got its creaks and its aches and its groans, and you're a little scared. What might come out of the darkness? Death feels that way. Except for Christ is everywhere. Not just in some dark building. You see, when Christ rose from the dead, when he burst forth, nothing is ever the same ever again. You see what he did? Life burst forth for humanity. You see what happened? There is this victory march to life that has started, and there's nothing death can do to stop it. The resurrection is now. He was risen to life. We are raised with Christ even now. You see, the resurrection is a physical resurrection. You aren't saved from this physical world. You're saved for a physical world that will be very good once again. You see, all that you feel, this sting of death, all that's wrong in your life, he is raised for that, for this here and now, not just then. You see, we're on this triumphant march, and we all join together, and our eyes are pointed to the endless horizon. You have this chronic condition. You have this chronic pain of that loved one, of that abuse, whatever it is. How long is it going to last? Not forever. It has an end. The pain has been redeemed. What would it be like to go through life without fear? Can you imagine never having fear? And let's throw in anxiety with that, never having anxiety. Can you imagine that? Women, could you imagine going for a run when it was pitch dark outside and having no fear? I had a college classmate, played soccer with him. He had two tattoos, one on each tricep. The first one said, no fear. Second one said, no limits. And I always thought, what a cocky guy. But the more you think about it, no fear, no limits. I had another friend in college. He was in the Marines while we were in college, in the reserves, and he would go do drill every weekend. After that, he came to the seminary, did a year, and decided it wasn't for him and joined the Milwaukee Police Department. He was on the Milwaukee Police Department when the George Floyd riots were happening. He was on national news as this police officer arresting people who are blocking the interstate, throwing tear gas into crowds, shooting, shotgunning people with beanbags, the whole nine yards. I did not envy him. No fear. No fear. Well, after that, he joined the sniper team. Then he joined the SWAT team. And what position did he want to have? On the SWAT team. He wanted to be the point man, the first one in. I said, not me. One day we're playing paintball. And it's him and I left on our team. Everyone else got shot out. And the other team still has like 8 people left. I'm a little bit farther up than he is. And he says, move up, I'll cover you. And I look back to him like, are you nuts? And without skipping a beat, he says, fine, I'll move up. You cover me. No fear. I didn't realize it that day. But for him, that was the privilege. He was giving me the privilege. You move up. You take the honors. And when I didn't want them, he said, great, I'll take them. You see, that's how it went in our lives. We were called to move up, but we couldn't. We were dead in our transgressions and sins. So then Jesus says without hesitation, fine, I'll move up. And he goes up so far, knowing that they got a hail of bullets for him, knowing they're going to pepper him. And there he goes to the cross. No fear. No limitation. To do what for us? To give us this life even now without fear, without limitation. You see what your life is now. Jesus calls to you, move up, I'll cover you. You see, he's covered you in his righteousness. The perishable must clothe itself with imperishable. So he says, move up. You see what's happened for you this resurrection, this Easter morning. The fray has ended. The battle is over. What are you riding on through life? You're mounted on Christ's perfect life, death, and resurrection. This snorting, stamping stallion. You have no reason to fear. You have no reason to limit yourself. Christ is alive. You see, he was this one, destined, dedicated, willing, did his work, met his death, so that he could come to you and say, move up. Move up, I'll cover you. And he's going to cover us all the way to eternity. So what's there to be afraid of? When your next checkup comes, how are you going to prepare yourself for that? Go to the resurrection. If you go and they find that your time is a little bit closer to death than you thought, great. Hear Jesus say, I'll cover you. Hear Paul say, I long and I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Well, if you go to your checkup and it seems that you've got a long life ahead of you left, great. Hear God say, I'll cover you. Whatever bullets they're going to shoot at you. When you pop your head out of cover, when you move up, I'll cover you. Finally, the words of Isaiah will come true. In this smallest division of time, we call it a split second, the twinkling of an eye. It'll all be over. Your life, less than a drop in a bucket of eternity to come, these words will be true. On that day it will be said, "Look, here is our God. We waited for him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." So whatever comes your way, scorpion, arthritis, chronic pain, premature death, no fear. Death is completely consumed. Then you hear these words. He is not here. He has risen. Amen.